Faith Campbell is the senior policy representative on the Nature Conservancy's invasive species team, and she's speaking with me today from Virginia. Welcome, Faith.
It's great to be here.
How big of a problem is this for Pennsylvania's forests, invasive species?
It's a huge problem for Pennsylvania's forests. For the more or less 400 years that since European settlement began in the mid-Atlantic states, more than 450 species of insects or pathogens that are native to Europe, Asia, or other places outside the United States have been introduced here. And the mid-Atlantic states, including Pennsylvania, have received more of these than any other part of the country. Close to 60, 70 species of highly damaging pests in Pennsylvania, New York, that area. In addition to the ones you mentioned, there's from 100 years ago, there's chestnut blight.
Is there one next big thing, like the emerald ash borer has kind of become?
Well, I expect the thousand cankers disease of walnut will be pretty big in Pennsylvania. There are a lot of walnuts in the state, in the forest. They have a very high monetary value for their wood, and people also enjoy collecting and eating the nuts. With detection of that disease in Bucks County over the summer, we know it's in Pennsylvania. We don't know how widespread it is yet in Pennsylvania, but I think it'll make a big impact in the woods.
The Nature Conservancy has been part of studies looking at the economic impact of invasive species on forests. So, like you said, people enjoy the nuts from the trees, but there are also monetary values. There's timber, there are other losses. Can you talk about those a bit?
These studies were conducted by an independent team. We did start the ball rolling and pay for it, but we didn't control what the independent scientists and economists found. They found that timber losses range, well, let's say below $80 million each year, which is much smaller than the impacts on cities and towns, for example. When the emerald ash borer, for example, comes in and kills the ash trees in a city, the mayor of that city can't just ignore the problem because the city will be sued if, you know, one of those dead trees falls over and hits a car or hits, worse yet, a person. So the cities have to deal with this, and they're spending, according to these studies, closer to $2 billion per year cities across the country are spending on dealing with the removal and sometimes replacement of trees killed off by these introduced insects and diseases. Homeowners also see a major loss. Of course, if the tree is on their property, they have to pay for its removal. And they're paying, according to these studies, again, over $400 million per year dealing with these problems. And they take a huge hit on property values. That gets up to almost $1 billion, more than $1 billion, actually, nationwide, because of the loss of both the beauty of the home and the shading during the summer and other values that you get from having a big tree in your yard.
Yeah, shading of the home, you're talking about energy savings.
Right.
How do these pests get into our forests in the first place?
These pests are from Asia, Europe, and other distant places. They were brought here by people, usually not on purpose. The gypsy moth is really the only one that was brought to North America on purpose. Many of them have come in on imported plants. That was true of the chestnut blight. In recent years, many of the worst ones have come in as larvae inside the wood of crates and pallets and other kinds of packing materials.
I don't know the story of the moth.
Well, there was a scientist in the Boston area who thought it might be suitable for starting a silkworm industry.
Oh.
So he brought it over in the 1860s, I believe it was, maybe 1870s, to eastern Massachusetts. Fairly quickly gave up on the idea of making a commercial success out of it. Meanwhile, some of them had escaped, and he did tell the authorities that nobody got all excited about it for the next 20 or 30 years, and by that point it was too widespread.
Wow.
As you know, we've been fighting it ever since.
Is it realistic to think that based on the policy, resources, and you know, the science, what we know, that we can prevent the overall changes to forests due to these pests?
Well, I don't like to look at it as a losing battle. It's certainly true that starting with chestnut blight and others from 100 years ago, there have been significant changes to the forest already, and there will continue to be more significant changes as you started out the program. It's almost certain that we're going to lose most of the ash trees in North America, but we don't give up on air pollution and water pollution, and I don't think we should give up on this one either. there are steps that we can take to reduce the number that get introduced from abroad every year, and especially to slow down the spread around inside the country so that if they do get introduced to one place, we can be more successful at containing them in that one place and not letting them spread across the whole country.
Yeah, talk about any successes so far. Are there stories of where a pest or a disease was eradicated or controlled?
The most prominent success in recent years has been the Asian longhorn beetle. It has been now found in, I believe, 7 places in North America, 1 in Canada and 6 in the United States. And they've declared eradication in 3 of those places, and they're working on the others. It's easier in some ways than some of the other pests, and they put real effort into it because of the large numbers of types of trees that it threatens.
In 50 years, can you project, will our forests be fundamentally different because of these pests?
I think they will be significantly different, yes. Climate change works its way into all of this, too, of course. But there will be very few ash. There might be very few walnuts. If the Asian longhorn beetle escapes the control efforts, we'll start seeing real declines in maples and birch and a number of other trees. This is a long-term... These gifts keep on giving, is the way I like to put it. They don't just sweep through once and that's the end of it. They're here forever. Mm. But, again, I think that there are ways that we can respond. There are also ways we can try to restore trees. As you probably know, people have been breeding chestnuts to try to develop trees that are resistant to the disease,
yeah.
And there are promising developments there. So restoration is also a possibility in later years.
Well, thank you very much for talking with me.
Well, it's been my pleasure.
I've been speaking with Faith Campbell. She is the Senior Policy Representative on the Nature Conservancy's Invasive Species Team. Our forest series will continue over the coming months. In one feature, we'll visit the Martin Guitar Factory in eastern Pennsylvania. It's an example of a legendary manufacturer that's using sustainable wood from state forests. You're listening to The Allegheny Front. I'm Jennifer Shveta-Jordan.